Hey, 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 welcome to the First Time Home Buyer Workshop Podcast with Julie Marion, episode number 4. Today, we're talking about amortization schedules. If you're just joining us, we are going to be giving you nuggets and nuggets of information to empower you, first time home buyer, because there is no possible way when you are buying your first house that you could possibly know every little detail about the 5 professions that are involved in your home buying journey. Yes, there are 5 professions involved with a whole set of industry standards, exams, certifications, licenses, state and sometimes federal regulation, different experience levels, knowledge of different products each company offers, all of which you are supposed to absorb, understand, ask intelligent questions as it applies to your situation, what your options are, and what fits best for you in your life in a very short time frame. To the point where I call that being overwhelmed. Here we drop our 15-minute podcasts every Friday and Monday. Why? Because you, as a first-time homebuyer, are probably going to be shopping for a house on the weekends. So I want you to be able to listen to this podcast, learn one little nugget of information before you go out and look at a house. And on the backside on Monday, I want you to learn another nugget of information while you're driving to work. Now, it would be better to start this process 6 months before you say the words, "I'm going to buy a house," while buying a house is still, well, a house dream. But hands down, everyone's journey is different, and we've got to blow out, disassemble, get rid of, completely destroy, annihilate first-time home buyer's remorse, which is well over 50% annually. It's atrocious, and the reasons why are all over the place. It depends on you and what you're not happy with. As recently as November 2023, home buyer remorse, and this is an emphasis on home buyer, which could be a first time, or second time, or third time home buyer remorse was at 92%. In my mind, something is wrong with the system that is set up in this country, but it is too big and too complex to rearrange. And you'll learn that if you're a regular here on this podcast. So the easiest thing is for you to become empowered and savvy. I am on a mission to get rid of this problem. I tell you what, the old saying, if I knew then what I know now, things would be different. I was sort of peripherally involved in the real estate field, and I thought I knew a lot. And I was surrounded by a lot of really, really smart people, 2 PhDers, in fact. And let me tell you, I made more than one mistake, and I am here to help you along the way so what happened to me doesn't happen to you. And honestly, I had it pretty good. I can only imagine how bad it is for people that do not have a banker, appraiser, home inspector, attorney, real estate broker, and family members that really do know what they're talking about. Not your Aunt Sally, who does real estate part-time, and do not have the good fortunes that I have had. That is why I'm doing this. I really care about you, first-time home buyer. So let's get to it today. What is an amortization schedule? I have been in so many closings where the title rep or the attorney says, no, don't look at that. You'll have heart palpitations. And what they're talking about is the amortization schedule and how much this house purchase is really going to cost when you add up all the interest and principal. It's usually around double the price of the house. And that is a big shock for a lot of people. The reality is, on closing day, you are so busy with moving, packing, cleaning, or at least orchestrating the process. And you also have to keep going to work so you can pay for the house, right? So an amortization schedule is not really quite on the top of your to-do list on closing day. However, it should be a task you do once a year as part of your financial plan. Now, in our paid class, we do this in the very first week of the class, so there aren't any surprises. Remember when I said I made a lot of mistakes? Well, here's another one. So I'll try to point you in the right direction so you become wealthier without much effort. The definition of an amortization schedule is systematic payments made towards a repayment of a loan over time. Sounds simple, right? It outlines the breakdown of each payment, showing you how much of your payment is going towards interest and how much is going towards principal, and it shows you the remaining balance after each payment. These schedules are essential because they provide borrowers with a clear understanding of how their loan will be paid off. Amortization schedules exist for several reasons. Number one is they provide the borrowers with transparency about their repayment obligations. Borrowers can see exactly how much they owe at any given point in time and how each payment contributes to reducing their debt. Amortization schedules break down each payment in two components, interest and principal, as I just said. In the earlier stages of the loan term, the larger portion of each payment goes towards paying off the interest, while the smaller portion goes towards reducing your principal. As the loan matures, this allocation gradually shifts, with more of each payment going towards principal and less going towards interest. And it typically is at about the halfway point. So if you have a 15-year mortgage, right around year 7, or if you have a 30-year mortgage, right around year 15. So take a look at that. The length of the loan term and the frequency of the payments, either monthly or biweekly, directly influence the structure of the amortization schedule. Longer terms result in smaller monthly payments, but a higher total interest paid over the life of the loan. Now, you can see this very clearly if you're comparing a 15-year mortgage versus a 30-year mortgage. A lot of financial gurus like the 15-year mortgage because you don't pay as much interest over time. However, the reality is for a lot of people, due to the cost of the house, a 30-year mortgage makes more sense. And if you stay till the end, I'll show you how the structure of your payment cycle will really impact the total amount of interest that you will be paying. Changes in interest rates can affect the total amount of interest paid and the overall cost of borrowing it. Now, this happens only really if you have an adjustable rate mortgage. And so when interest rates rise, more of each payment goes towards interest and less goes towards principal. Conversely, if you have an adjustable rate mortgage and the interest rates decrease, more of each payment goes towards reducing the principal and potentially shortening the loan term, which then also reduces the total interest costs. Amortization schedules are helpful because knowing the exact amount of each payment and how it's allocated allows borrowers to budget effectively. They can plan for their future expenses and ensure they will have sufficient funds to meet their repayment obligations. They also help borrowers understand the amount of interest that they're paying over the life of the loan. And by examining the amortization schedule, borrowers can strategize on how to pay off their loan early if they wish to do so. You can see the impact of making extra payments or increasing regular payments that will reduce the total interest paid and shorten the loan term. Finally, amortization schedules, especially mortgages, providing that amortization schedule is just frankly a legal requirement. It ensures that borrowers have the full information about the repayment obligations. So as I mentioned or alluded to earlier, amortization schedules are valuable tools for financial planning as they allow you to forecast future cash flows and assess your ability to meet repayment obligations and make informed decisions about your financial future. The reality is, you buying this house is just one step in your life's journey, and things may change over time. You might get a better job, you might change jobs, you might have a two-income household, and then you have a one-income household. You might need to buy a new car. There might be a lot of different changes financially that impact your ability to make this repayment of this mortgage. Now, you may be wondering why you cannot pay your principal off first and then your interest. And there are a few reasons why it's structured like this. So as a base, your loan agreement is that the terms of your loan specify the repayment structure. That's required by law, including the allocation of the payments towards the principal and interest. And deviating from these terms may require a negotiation with the lender, which probably is not possible, nor would it be very easy. The second is, and this will become very clear when we define the secondary market in episode 9, but the reality is the Federal Reserve kicks in here. Now, we talked about the Federal Reserve a couple episodes ago, but the reality is that the Federal Reserve limits the amount of money in a dollar sense as to how much a bank can do. So a big, huge trillion-dollar bank has more lending capability because they have more customers than, say, a local bank or a credit union. So each bank basically has a cap. And then when they hit that cap, they package up the loans and they sell them to the secondary market, or an investment tool similar to the secondary market. Now, as I said, we're going to get deep into this in episode 9. But for now, just recognize that each bank has a maximum amount of dollars that they can lend for residential loans. Okay, so now let's do something that we did in the last episode where I had you become the bank. So let's recognize that you're the banker and you're looking at all of these loans that you've given all these different people. You're recognizing that about midway through of someone's loan, that you as the bank are going to be collecting less interest on that loan than you did when they made their first payment. So when do you think a good time would be to sell this loan? Well, if I was the bank, I would say I would try to sell it just after midway point because I could then lend on another loan and collect more interest, all things being equal. And I would collect more interest on a newer loan rather than an aging loan. So this is how that secondary market would kick in. And this is why bankers would want to package up and sell aging loans. Now, again, if I was the banker where you could pay your principal at the end of the loan, then I would have to wait until the very, very end to collect my interest. And that would be very, very tough for the consumer population because I, as the bank, would not be able to service any new customers based on the Federal Reserve lending caps and rules. So that's why it's set up the way it is. One of the components of a loan will be if there is a prepayment penalty. And that is because if you are looking at your amortization schedule and you want to pay down your mortgage faster, you will need to be in a loan type that will allow that payment activity. Whether the prepayment penalty exists depends upon various factors, including the type of mortgage, the lender, and specific terms of your loan agreement. Now, here are some key things to think about. Prepayment penalties are more common with certain types of mortgages, such as subprime mortgages or adjustable rate mortgages, or they refer to adjustable rate mortgages as ARMs. These penalties are typically less common with conventional fixed rate mortgages. So I highly recommend that if you're thinking about getting a mortgage, that you run the amortization schedules for the different types of mortgages, say for an adjustable rate mortgage and for a fixed rate mortgage. Another point to consider is the loan agreement. The presence and the terms of the prepayment penalties should be clearly outlined in your loan agreement with the bank. And you should carefully review the loan documents to understand if there are any penalties for paying off the mortgage early. Now, I have to say that is a great statement and a really great point to consider. But honestly, do you know when they give you that packet? At the closing table. You have a few other things on your mind that day. So what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to work with your banker or your mortgage agent. And that's why you need to understand the amortization schedule well before you actually purchase a loan product. The other thing is, state laws regulate mortgage lending practices, and some states have restrictions on prepayment penalties. In certain states, prepayment penalties are prohibited, or they may be limited to a certain amount. There are 5 states that prohibit prepayment penalties. They are California, Texas, New York, Illinois, Florida, and Washington. So there's a lot of states that do allow for prepayment penalties to be imposed. So if you are in one of those other states besides the 5 I mentioned, you might want to take a look at the amortization schedule. So in the 2008 housing debacle, part of that debacle included subprime loans because the lending industry was lending to people that they actually didn't verify their income. Those home buyers received subprime loans, and a lot of subprime loans have prepayment penalties. That was one component as to part of the whole meltdown. So the federal government stepped in, and there are federal laws such as the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act that have imposed restrictions on prepayment penalty for certain types of mortgages, especially the higher risk loans. So this is very complicated. And these regulations aim to protect consumers from unfair lending practices. But nonetheless, once again, check with your banker and check or your mortgage agent and take a look and see if there are prepayment penalties in your state regarding the mortgage that you're considering purchasing. The other thing that you will want to be aware of is that prepayment penalties may apply only during a specific period, such as the first few years of the loan term. And then after the initial period, borrowers may be able to pay off the mortgage early without incurring any penalties. Prepayment penalties can really affect your ability to refinance. And this is important to understand because, so let's say the interest rates are cut by 2 or 3 or 4 points and you want to refinance because you want to take advantage of that lower rate, it's going to lower your payment. So if you have a prepayment penalty attached to your mortgage, you may not be able to take advantage of the lower interest rates or better terms because of this prepayment penalty. Now, remember earlier in the podcast, I said I was going to give you a tip to actually help you build wealth without much effort? Well, I've mentioned this tip to every one of my clients. And today, after about 20 years as a real estate broker, not one of my clients has implemented this strategy. So here it is. So when you buy your house, you're bringing a large check to closing. Mostly it's to pay your closing costs, unless you're rolling those fees into your payment and your down payment in order to secure your loan. Then your mortgage payment is due about 2 months later. So let me explain this. So in rent, you pay up front, meaning say you rent an apartment for the month of January, your rent is due on the 1st. And then it's due on February 1st, and so on and so on. Now, in mortgages, the way you do it is you pay the bank in arrears. So what happens is you live in the house, and then you pay the bank. Okay, so let's use this example. Let's say you close on May 15th. Now, you're going to be bringing this big check to closing, so you're actually going to be paying part of the 15 days between May 15th and May 30th. You're also going to be bringing that amount of money to closing. Say you close on May 15th. Your mortgage payment is due on July 1st. So what you want to do is for the month of June, you set your mortgage payment aside. Then when July comes, pay your monthly mortgage payment. 16 or 17 days later, pay half of your mortgage payment. Then between the 1st and the 15th, because most mortgages have a 15-day grace period, you pay the other half of the mortgage payment. Then again, on the 16th or 17th of that month, you pay another half of your mortgage payment, and you keep paying your mortgage payment like that. What is happening on the back end is that your interest that you owe the bank is accumulated daily. So the fact that you paid a half a month's mortgage payment early, your daily rate of the interest is not as much as if you had left it accumulating from the 1st to the 1st. And over time, you will shave off approximately 7 to 9 years worth of interest off the total amount of the house. Now, I'm not talking about making an extra payment. You'll hear that floated around too. Just make one extra payment a year and you'll shave off interest off your loan. I'm talking about you're paying the same amount, you're just paying it at different increments. Now, you must absolutely have a loan that doesn't have a prepayment penalty. Otherwise, you are just doing the action, but you're not getting any benefit. For most banks, it is allowed. And I know this because some of these bank websites, they allow you to do it and they offer you to have it set up electronically for a fee. And guess what? Guess how much the fee is, right? Just as about as much as the interest that you're saving. So there you have it. This is your 15 minutes of home buying knowledge, another acorn to put in your home buyer jar. In the next podcast, we're going to be discussing closing costs. Homework, homework. Yes, yes, you have homework. I want you to continue noticing what the Federal Reserve is talking about and what the mortgage products are in your area. We have been doing this since we started this podcast. Let's just keep at it. There's no rush, as banks will be lending money today and tomorrow. So if you're just getting your feet wet, just start noticing what the Federal Reserve is talking about, and go in and visit a few banks and see what products they have to offer. If you don't want to miss these weekly podcasts, go to our website, thefirsttimehomebuyerworkshop.com, and sign up for our weekly email, where we will email you the link to this podcast right there in your in-basket, so you don't forget or have to hunt around for the right episode. Also on the website, you will see our free class entitled Home Buying Chaos Unwrapped for those of you who are close to starting your home buying journey and want to kickstart the process. Until next time, from the team at the First Time Home Buyer Workshop with Julie Marion, bye for now.